Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Entrepreneur Product Sourcing and eBiz Show, brought to you by WorldwideBrands.com.
Thanks for joining us again today. I'm Colette Marshall. I'm Worldwide Brands Business Development Manager. Part of successful product sourcing is understanding how much inventory to source and how often. A lack of inventory planning will result in surplus merchandise, forced discounts, and lost profits. Today we're talking to Ted Herbert, Principal of Herbert & Associates, who will be sharing some of the good practices he's learned in his more than 25 years of experience in inventory management. Ted, welcome to the show.
Thank you for asking me to be on the program.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on. How significant an issue is inventory management?
If you think about the structure of a business from a financial perspective in terms of a balance sheet, inventory is the biggest asset. It ties up the biggest chunk of cash. It tends to consume cash very easily. Inventory is also the active asset amongst all the other assets that any business may have. Inventory is going to be the one that generates the sales, that generates the profit. When an e-business company gets into trouble, oftentimes cash starts to get tight. When cash is tight, you see situations where there's simply too much inventory. It's robbing a business of the flexibility that it needs financially, but also operationally to do the things that it needs to do to grow the business.
Many may think that inventory is a good thing. They might say that you can't do business without it, but you seem to be saying that too much inventory is a bad thing.
Absolutely. It ties up a lot of cash, like I mentioned, but it also starts to erode a lot of other business fundamentals. Too much inventory, when it hangs around, gets shop-worn, and starts to run up against the end of a particular selling season, only leads to increased markdowns. Markdowns really rob an e-business of gross margin dollars, those critical dollars that are needed to pay the bills and to grow the business. But there's a longer-term, more insidious impact as well, and that's that it begins to destroy price integrity, and it robs customers of a sense of urgency about the business. Customers are pretty smart. They see a lot of markdown activity, that inventory is not going anywhere. They learn that they don't need to respond immediately, that if they wait you out, that the price will come down. You end up trading earlier fuller margin sales for later markdown sales where you may be selling the unit, but you're not selling the unit and getting as much cash for that unit as you might have otherwise earlier. Inventory is what I call a necessary evil in any e-business or retailing environment. You've got to have it to do business unless you drop ship everything directly from your manufacturers, but too much of it can really begin to erode business fundamentals as time goes along.
What are some of the critical tools a retailer needs for managing inventory?
The two basics that I like to make sure are in place are a cash flow plan and an open to buy plan. It all starts with cash. As I said earlier, inventory chews up such a large portion of a retailer or an e-business asset base. So it's important to understand what's going on with that cash. A cash flow plan takes into the big picture of the business, not just the inventory, but all of the other things that are going on from a cash perspective. The open to buy is managing a subset of that cash flow. It's managing the expenditures that a business is making for inventory.
How can they use these two plans to really manage that inventory? Can you give an example?
Let's start talking a little bit more in depth about a cash flow plan, because I really do think it's pretty critical. A cash flow plan is a rolling budget. Sometimes it's called a roll forward budget, where you have a starting cash balance. You know what your planned receipts are. That's the form of cash coming into the business through sales. And you've got budgets set up for all of the expenditures, whether it's expenditures to pay for product or any other expenditures associated with the business. And at the end of the month, you've got a projected cash flow balance. And in the course of creating a cash flow plan on a monthly basis, you can go through and see exactly where your projected shortfalls are, where your expenditures are, and you've also established on a monthly basis a series of benchmarks so as you go forward, you have a means of measuring where you are falling short, where you are making your budget. You have a means of recognizing that you are going to fall short in some months, and that specific action is necessary to get you back on plan. For people that are selling on the web, running an e-business, inventory is even a greater percentage of the overall operating budget. So oftentimes when the cash flow plan is not coming in, when they're deviating from the plan, it's because of the expenditures for inventory are breaking plan. A cash flow plan is one tool for quickly identifying that the payables for the inventory is getting a little bit out of control. There are different things that can be done, but you can quickly identify if you need to try to negotiate some extended terms or that you've actually got to cut back. The open-to-buy plan helps you identify that you're getting too much inventory in and specifically where that inventory is getting a bit heavy. But from a cash flow perspective, it helps you manage the payables piece of that, that portion that you actually have to pay back to vendors, and identifies that maybe, you know, in a short-term situation, if things are getting a little bit tighter, even if you're projecting a negative cash flow position in a month or two, it tells you at an early point when you have the most leverage with your vendors that you need to push back on them and try to get some extended terms, extended dating, whatever it might be, in order to get yourself back into an appropriate cash position.
You mentioned again open to buy. It sounds like a great little buzzword. What exactly is it?
Well, it is a buzzword, and yet it's also a very, very important tool. So at a high level, an open to buy is something that's specifically related to retail merchandise. It's something that specifically addresses the needs of retailers. It's a budget that starts with a planning process, and it's future oriented, and it provides guidance on how much to buy. Like any good budget, it provides benchmarks. Open to buys most often are done in retail dollars as the unit of measure. Very rarely do you see it in terms of actual selling units. Sometimes you see it in cost dollars, but most of the time it's in the retail dollars. And because it is a financial budget, it does relate indirectly to a cash flow plan and to the financial performance of the company. And open to buy is flexible because it can be used to track at a department, a classification, or a subclassification for a retailer. As it relates specifically to e-business, I think there is an important point to be made here. Category management, even on an e-business level, is very important. It's not necessarily on an item-by-item basis. As e-business entrepreneurs are establishing themselves, establishing websites, they are developing a brand identification from a consumer's perspective, and it's important to understand that consumers come to expect that certain products, certain categories of merchandise are going to be available at that website. It may not be that they're necessarily looking for specific items, but they are there because they recognize that that's a place to go for dresses or that's a place to go for curtains or whatever the product category may be. So the concept of category management and segmenting your business into those critical categories and managing your inventory by those classifications or subclassifications is just as valid for an e-business as it is for a brick-and-mortar retailer. How does an open-to-buy work? Like any budget, it starts with a plan. And planning is the first critical step. One of the things that I like to say is that those that take the time to do the planning are going to find that they're far more successful than those that don't. Oftentimes, especially in smaller operations, there's a sense that there isn't time to plan or that planning's not as important, but it is just as important. And an open to buy to really make it work has to start with planning. And the first thing that you want to plan is sales. And in most cases, you're planning sales by month. And the critical question to ask is, what's the most likely level of sales that we're going to achieve by month? What you're really asking is, what's the level of sales that has the highest probability of occurring? Let's say my answer is 100. That doesn't mean that I might not sell 99 or 98 or 101, 102, but the most likely level is 100.
Do you mean the level of sales for that category or the level of sales overall?
If you are, in fact, breaking down the open to buy into a given category, then that question would be asked at that category level. So the planning that you are doing is at that level that you've broken your business down into. Let's say that your business is made up by 10 categories that you've identified. You're going to want to plan each of those categories.
So in other words, make an open to buy type scenario for each one of those categories.
Correct. The beginning of the process is not the most that I possibly could sell, but what's the most likely level of sales to be for that period of time. Oftentimes, e-business gets in trouble because they focus on what's the most that I possibly could sell.
Once you've done that, what is the next step in developing your open-to-buy plan?
Well, the next piece of it is to determine an inventory plan. And again, by month for each of the categories that you're planning. The critical question to ask is, how much inventory do I need at the end of each month to support the next month's level of sales that I've planned? In some cases, you may need to have a little bit more than 1 month forward. You may want to plan for the next couple of months of sales. And from there, you're able to determine how much inventory receipts you need to bring in. If you know what your beginning inventory for a given period is, for instance, and you know what you expect to sell in that period, and you know what you want to end with in that period, you can from there calculate how much you need to bring in to support those sales and to support that ending inventory. many smaller e-business sites will look at the receipts and say, well, what do I want to bring in? What do I want to bring in? But they haven't started at the beginning of the process by asking themselves, how much do I expect to sell? And how much inventory do I need to have on hand to support those sales? Mm-hmm. Those are the two questions that really drive the answer of how much do I need to bring in? Once you have that by category, by month, how much I need to bring in, having derived that from your sales and your inventory plan, you now have a purchasing budget. So if you're doing this preseason, when all good planning should be done, you can go into the market and you know on a monthly basis by category in retail dollars what you need to be buying and slotting for delivery into those periods. It helps you flow your inventory. It assures that you don't have too much inventory too early in a season that could back up on you and create some markdown pressure. It really does answer the question, how much do I need to bring in and when do I need to bring it in? In addition to that, it gives you a real check on, if I'm bringing this inventory in at this period, at this point in time, I know that I'm going to have a payable on that, maybe 30 days out, maybe 60 days out, and now you've got those numbers that you can plug into your cash flow plan as well.
Also, the other thing that it does for you is if you have a long lead time with your supplier and you know that lead time and you know what that projection is going to be, you can plan.
Well, I'm a big believer that if you are operating a seasonal business, and most businesses do have some seasonality to them, that as soon as the season ends, that's when you should be planning for the next season. For a couple of reasons. First of all, that's when your experience from this prior season is most fresh in your mind. And the second is that for those things that have the longest lead time, it gives you the opportunity at a very early stage to know what you want to do going forward, so that when you're dealing with those vendors that do have the longer lead times, you are in fact dealing from a plan as opposed to dealing a little bit more from the seat of your pants because you haven't gotten around to doing the plan just yet. So I do recommend trying to put your plans together for a season as soon as that prior season is just completed.
Now, what about new entrepreneurs who are just getting started and they don't really have a prior season to work from?
Even for somebody that's brand new starting out, I think that at the beginning of the process, as they are starting out, it's important to try to craft a plan as best as you can. Vendors oftentimes can be a valuable source of information. You can't count on them to do your planning for you, but they can provide you guidance as to how much you should expect to sell, how quickly you can expect to sell, what months that it might be most saleable in. But it's important because one of the key things that a plan does give you is a series of benchmarks. As you get into a season, whether you're established or whether you are new starting out, it's important to have those benchmarks so that you can evaluate your progress as you're going through a season against what you expected to happen. You're able to compare planned sales versus actual sales. Whether you're just starting out or whether you are established, having those series of benchmarks going into the season, having done that planning, is critically important so that once you do get into the season, you've got some basis for making decisions and managing your inventory so that you are staying on track and inventory is not building up and pushing you into a place where you're going to have excessive markdowns and you're going to start seeing your margins start to erode.
Are there any existing systems that have open-to-buy functionality already incorporated into them?
I find that the most cost-effective solution is to develop something off-system on a spreadsheet. It's not that complicated to do.
Good old Excel.
So the great thing about it is that no two businesses are alike, and so their needs from an open-to-buy basis are never alike. For smaller e-business websites, having the capability to tailor something to their specific need is critical to really making the tool work for them.
What about other critical metrics that a retailer should keep an eye on beyond sales and inventory levels?
The one great overlooked metric is gross margin, both gross margin percentage and gross margin dollars. Gross margin dollars is the lifeblood of any business. It's those dollars that are available after you've paid the vendors to pick up all the other things, whether it's advertising or whatever it may be. Gross margin as a percentage metric is very important as well, because that's a function of what your initial markups are, as well as what kind of markdowns you're having to take in order to move product through. Your gross margin dollars can be improved by trying to find opportunities to get additional markup, as well as by trying to manage your inventory a little bit tighter so that you don't have that markdown erosion.
So how about some other terms that we've heard? Inventory turnover, gross margin return?
These are critical metrics for measuring how well inventory is being managed. Even for smaller businesses, these type of metrics can be very illuminating and help people understand how successful they're doing. So the key to any retailer's success is to turn their inventory into cash at the best possible markup as quickly as they can, and then buy more inventory and turn that into cash as quickly as they can. It sounds sort of simple, but at core, that's really what the mission is. Implicit in that kind of a statement is the fact that turning your inventory over as quickly as you can is a critical mission to keeping the inventory fresh and keeping the cash flow coming. And so inventory turnover is pretty straightforward. It's how many times was I able to turn my inventory during the year into cash, buy more and turn that into more cash. And the basic calculation there is you take the sales during the course of the year at the retail value, and then you take the average inventory and divide the sales by the average inventory. You derive at the average inventory by most times looking at the ending inventories for each of the month. And you're doing sales at retail value. You do the average inventory at retail value. And that'll tell you what your turnover is. In some cases, you need to do it on a cost basis, the cost of the inventory that you sold versus the average inventory value at cost. But basically, we're saying based upon the average inventory, how many times did you turn that over? Keeping your inventory fresh is critically important. Again, from a business fundamental standpoint, new things, things that aren't hanging around for a long time, create a greater sense of urgency in customers. So inventory turnover is a critical metric. Second one is gross margin return on investment. And that's a little bit more involved, but it really answers a basic question. How many gross margin dollars, which we just talked about, did the inventory investment generate during the year to pay all of the other business expenses? And here's where it factors in inventory turn, combining a little bit with the margin percentage. The basic calculation there, take the total gross margin dollars that were generated for the year, and you divide that by the average inventory value. And basically what it's saying, if I had a dollar of average inventory during the course of the year, how many gross margin dollars did that generate for me in return? It's a critical measure of how well that inventory is performing. Again, we started out the program by saying that inventory for an e-business is the critical active asset. And so now we're measuring, well, how well did that active asset perform during the course of the year? Once you measure what your metric is, how you're doing in turnover, how you're doing in GMROI, there's no such thing as standing still. If you don't know that you're moving forward, then most likely you're going backwards, and it's always important to be moving forward.
That's our time for today with Ted Herbert of HerbertAssociates.com. Thanks so much for being here. I'm Colette Marshall.
Today's Entrepreneur Product Sourcing and eBiz show has been brought to you by WorldwideBrands.com and Entrepreneur.com. Join us again next week for more free eBiz education with the Internet's leading product sourcing experts.